Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Well, should people do anything for a vote? Does the end justify the means? A shocking news story came out, and that is that someone who most of us like, the Justice Minister Ayelet Shaked, she is in now the new right party with Minister Naftali Bennett. She came out and said that, quote, "I'm willing to give half a million Arabs citizenship." And she said this, that basically, I don't know if that's a complete quote. And in any case, she probably said it in Hebrew. But she was saying that if we apply Israeli law to Area C, and I'll explain what that is later, I'll live peacefully with the fact that we gave 400,000 to 500,000 Palestinians, quote unquote, Israeli citizenship and allow them to vote in the Knesset's elections, Justice Minister Ayelet Shaked said from the New Right Party, and this was from Israel Hayom. Does the end justify the means? Should one do anything for a vote? I don't think so, but I'd like to hear what you think. Feel free to call in. You are listening to the Tamar Yonah Show here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. We are live if you're listening on Sunday morning between 9 to 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern Time, or if it's between 4 to 5 p.m. Holy Time right here in the land of Israel. That means that we are live and you can call into the show. Our numbers are on the top of our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. You can also join me in the chat room. It's a lot of fun. You get to listen to the show with me, and you can write your comments down, questions. You can meet other people who are listening to the show and see what they're thinking as they're listening in. It's a lot of fun. You can meet nice people. So join us in the chat room. It's the orange button on our homepage, right next to where our phone numbers are, by the way, at the top of the page. So come into the chat room, say hello. You can sign in with your Facebook or your Twitter, and you can even sign in as an anonymous guest. We're also going to be talking about another big news story, and that is that Israel and the Arab countries, many of them, sat down together at the same table. Is the Messiah coming? We're going to be talking about that news story as well. Interesting things to bring up today. We'll be right back.
G'day, I'm Jono Vandor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
We're going to be talking about...
What are we going to talk about?
A person who takes out a terrorist with a pizza tray.
And there's Donald Trump talking to a turkey. What's that about?
A 71-year-old rock star is a staunch supporter of Israel.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind.
Every Thursday.
Well, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and we are talking about two different subjects today with our upcoming guest, and that is, do anything for a vote? Our Justice Minister, Ayelet Shaked, said she is willing to give half a million Arabs citizenship if it means that we can bring Israeli law into Area C. We're going to talk about that with him, but first we are going to be talking about another huge news story that came out last week as Israel and some of our Arab neighbors broke bread, so to speak, together last week at a conference in Warsaw. You know, when they say that the enemy of my enemy is my friend, it's seemingly true here. This is it. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Here to talk to us more about this, we have joining us Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem. He is a researcher, former lecturer at Ben-Gurion University, and has authored over 60 books and 400 research papers on science, political science, and more. He served in Israel's War of Attrition and spent time in Gaza serving directly with, at that time, General Arik Sharon. He commentates on Mideast and world issues, and he's here joining us now. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem.
Thank you for having me.
It is very good to have you on. So tell me, is the Messiah coming? Arab countries actually sat down with Israel and are talking to us and saying to the world that Israel has a right to defend herself?
Well, I don't know if that has anything to do with the Messiah, who of course is coming at any moment, but let's give a little bit of perspective here. For the past 100 years, there's been a conference of this nature about the Middle East about every 15 years. It was San Remo, there was Madrid, et cetera, et cetera. So this is another one in a long series of conferences of this nature. Is Mike Pence correct that this is extraordinarily important? Is maybe nothing else correct? This is an extraordinary, a very interesting, in Bibi's words, amazing event.
They're calling it a new era.
Sorry?
They're calling it a new era.
I don't know if I would call it a new era, but I'd say it's certainly an amazing event. It's clearly an event that should be noticed. It's clearly an event that matters. And you know, 10 Arab high-level people, 10 people people from 10 different Arab nations, high-level people from different Arab nations, including foreign ministers of those countries and et cetera, sitting down together with the leader of Israel, not only not walking out, but speaking with him, speaking politely with him, shaking hands with him, even if grudgingly. There's a humorous little anecdote about the foreign minister of Yemen, the worst failed state in the world today, who sat next to Bibi, and when Bibi's microphone misfunctioned, he very politely passed in his own microphone. But later when he was sort of quote-unquote challenged about it, I sat next to him because it was a protocol error. So in some cases it's grudgingly, but nonetheless it's real. It's very real.
Let me read a little bit. Go ahead, and then I want to read something afterwards. Go ahead.
Okay, and as to your comment, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, I don't know if that's really the phrasing here. Clearly that is part of it. But I think it goes beyond that as well. I mean, if we look at, for instance, at Saudi Arabia, the leading Arab country in this sense, Saudi Arabia is involved in an enormous revolution, a quiet, peaceful
modernization,
and really a revolutionary change. They are very aware that very soon Saudi oil is running out. It's going to run dry. So, you know, what's the alternative? The whole country just goes away? It's not going to happen. Something has to be done. So they have a leadership now led by a relatively young man who's trying to prepare the country for a new era. And, for instance, he wants to build an enormous city about 100 kilometers south of Eilat, Aqaba. And he wants it to be one of the most technologically advanced cities in the world. He knows that he can't even build this thing without Israeli expertise. It's not possible. He can ask for help from the Chinese, but the Chinese will come to us.
You know what they say about Israel and other countries, that when other countries come to, quote-unquote, help a country, they stay. But when Israel comes, Israel leaves afterwards. And that's why these countries like it when Israel comes, because they don't stay. All right.
That's very true. And it's part of it, because we really do not have any agenda other than our own personal agenda. We want to have good relations with as many countries as possible. Amen. And helping them helps us.
Amen. Helps the world, because we see the world as valuable, everybody in the world. All right, so let me read this little thing here, because it has to do with what we're talking about. I'm reading from worldisraelnews.com, and they write here that arch-terrorist Hassan Nasrallah accused several Gulf states of collaborating with Israel to conspire against Iran. Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of the Lebanese Islamic terror group Hezbollah, reacted on Saturday to this week's Mideast summit in Warsaw, Poland, at which Israeli leader Benjamin Netanyahu joined counterparts from several Arab nations, the European Union, and the United States. And of course, Vice President Mike Pence was there as well. The conference focused on the growing threat posed by Hezbollah's biggest benefactor, Iran, which bankrolls a number of terror groups throughout the region, including Hamas in the Gaza Strip. Both Hezbollah and the Hamas are sworn to Israel's destruction. By the way, both of them also hate America and hate the West. At the summit in Warsaw, Gulf states such as Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates expressed opinions in alignment with Israel's position on the Iranian threat to regional stability and peace. The mere fact that these Arab nations participated in a conference with Israel also represented a shift in policy, providing clear evidence of the warming ties between the Jewish state and other nations in the region. Let me just read a little bit more here. Several representatives of Arab states also expressed support for Israel's right to defend itself and acknowledged that the Palestinian issue's importance has been eclipsed by the need to address Iranian belligerence. On Saturday, Nasrallah, which is the head of the Hezbollah, spoke at an annual event honoring the terror group's martyrs, they're terrorists, admitting that the Warsaw summit brought out into the open Israel's relations with the Gulf states, including the Saudi Arabia. So it says here the Hezbollah chief not only attacked Yemen's foreign minister for sitting next to Netanyahu at the summit, posting that Iran's proxy war in Yemen, quote, is an Israeli-American war carried out by Saudi Arabia and the UAE. He's always blaming Israel. He also accused the Arab nations at the summit of being tools in the hands of Israel and the United States. That was reported by the Times. So very interesting what's going on. Your comments, please.
Well, actually, you brought up here several points that are worth looking at. You know, what's really happening with Iran, what's really happening with European countries, and et cetera. Nasrallah himself is irrelevant. I mean, people need to understand that Hezbollah gets about 60% of its budget from Iran as a direct contribution, and about 40% from drugs. So they have an enormous drug trade across the southern border of the United States, and that nets them about $1.1 billion a year. So they get 60% of their budget from Iran, so they're beholden to Iran. And you know, it's a real question. Is Israel and or the United States, are we really doing anything towards Iran, anything that's effective? Let me give you one little statistic that might give a hint at what's going on here. The average failure rate for missile tests around the world in almost all countries is about 5%. When you're developing missiles, you expect about 5% of your tests to fail. The average failure rate in Iran for the past 20 years has been 65%. So that hints that there might be a good reason why they have so many failures. And most people today are thinking that probably the United States and Israel are somehow involved in those failures.
Hmm.
So, there are a lot of things going on. And what's happening with Europe? Europe tried to, at first, to sort of boycott this thing. They're sort of a foreign minister or whatever they call her, Mogherini, decided not to come, and they sent lower level people and et cetera, et cetera. And all that really proved in terms of Europe is its irrelevancy, because nobody really cares what Europe says or thinks, if they bother to think at all.
And that's nobody because why? Anymore. Because Europe doesn't offer any protection, any type of advantage at all to...
Europe has nothing whatsoever to offer. Europe right now is struggling for basic survival. Basic survival. We need to understand, at the present rates of growth, unless things change very, very strongly, the age group for birthing children in Germany will have a majority of Muslims in 10 years. 10 years.
Wow. That is fast. That is soon. Well, we're going to hold it right there. When we get back, we'll be talking more about the news stories that are happening with Israel. And if you would like to call in and weigh in on the subject, feel free to do so. Our numbers are on our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. This is Andrea Simento from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together, we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simento, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to remind you that this is a live show. If you're listening between 9 to 10 a.m. Sunday morning, U.S. Eastern Time, or if it's between 4 to 5 p.m. Holy Time right here in the Land of Israel on Sunday, it means that we are live and you can join us on the air. Our numbers are on the top of our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. We're talking about the historic opening of more firm relations with Arabs in the Gulf states and even Saudi Arabia. They say the saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And we're seeing that really taking place here. Our guest with us is Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem, and he can feel free to jump in anytime. And I wanted to comment, Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem, on the last point that we're making about Iran, how it's become a threat to these Arab nations, so much so that they're willing to sit with Jews. They're willing to sit with quote-unquote Zionists. And they're willing to put to bury right now the quote-unquote Palestinian problem that they've always claimed that they've been fighting for, the poor Arabs there, et cetera, et cetera. And I want to talk about Iran for a moment because Iran is such a threat. Iran is not only an enemy of Israel. Iran is involved and it has its tentacles in the Hamas in Gaza. It has its tentacles and is involved in the Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. It has its tentacles and is involved in the war between Saudi Arabia and Yemen, in Yemen. And they are instigating problems there in Yemen, making a civil war. They are have their tentacles in Nicaragua, setting up bases there, perhaps to attack the big devil, the big Satan, America, right? And in addition to all of this, Iran is now under a lot of pressure from its own population, who are having demonstrations in the streets because they're with the sanctions on it and the poor economy that they have there, and the fact that much of their population is not just plain, pure Islamic Iranian. It is made up of many different ethnic groups, many different religions, and they're not all loyal to this mullah government, and they are tired of seeing their lives difficult under the economic stress that they are suffering right now, especially with the sanctions, and they want the government to stop looking outside of Iran, putting funding outside of Iran to the Hamas, to the Hezbollah, to every place else, and start taking some of that money and putting it into their own people and making their own people's lives better. And I think this makes Iran extremely vulnerable, and I think it's a perfect time to really take down this government and let the people's revolution in Iran, that is more democratic, more Western friendly, to take over. And it would be safer for the entire world, because they won't be necessarily pursuing the atomic bombs to try to destroy the West and have this agenda of Islamic fundamentalism, radicalism on their plate. I think this is a perfect time for people to come against Iran and get their and to support their people and to overthrow them. Your comments.
First of all, people need to understand that Iran in 2000, let's say 2010, is essentially the same size as Germany in 1933. So we're talking about something which is real. We're talking about a threat which is a real threat to a real significant portion of the world. And you mentioned Nicaragua. It's much, much broader than just Nicaragua. They're in they're even stronger in Venezuela. They're in Cuba. They're in Ecuador.
And
they're
look
in
at Venezuela today.
Sorry?
And look at Venezuela today.
Yeah, yeah.
It's horrible.
One of the things that people need to understand is that Iran is the world's Iran's first primary export item, of course, is oil. But second most important export item that people need to be aware of, and is not published in any normal newspaper, is opiates. And Iran is actively poisoning hundreds of thousands of Americans every year as part of their jihad. They are killing Americans in the tens of thousands every year. This is active. This is not something that's just happening. The opium epidemic in the United States is not by chance. It is engineered by Iran with the aid of Hezbollah. People need to be aware of this. Iran is a definite danger. Now, on the other hand, going back to some of the things that you mentioned, because of this trade in opiates, 10% of the Iranian population are addicted to drugs and are in very bad and very poor health in many other respects as well. The health system in Iran is basically collapsing. The water system in Iran has already collapsed. The economy in Iran is collapsing. The food economy in Iran, the food stability is collapsing. The population in terms of demography and births is collapsing. Iran is in terrible shape internally.
Prime time. That's why I said they're vulnerable now. Now's the time to strike and to really support the people, the people's revolution there. I want to end that there, because I want to go to the other big story that is in the headlines here in Israel, and that is the declaration, the quote that Ayelet Shaked, who is very a likable person, by the way. I think a lot of people like her. I like her. I think Bennett is a very good speaker. He talks for Israel very nicely when he goes on other news news agencies who are always condemning Israel. And she was saying, and I'm going to be quoting, this is from Arut Sheva, that they're reporting, I'm willing to give 500,000 Arabs citizenship. Justice Minister Shaked says she's willing to give Area C Arabs Israeli citizenship in exchange for applying Israeli law to the area. And let me just read a little bit of this to give our listeners a background. She says, quote, if we apply Israeli law to Area C, I'll live peacefully with the fact that we gave 400,000 to 500,000 Palestinians Israeli citizenship and allow them to vote in the Knesset's elections, Justice Minister Ayelet Shaked from the New Right told Israel Hayom. Area C, which makes up roughly 60% of Judea and Samaria, by the way, for anyone's not sure where Judea and Samaria is, it is the hilly areas around, up and down, north and south of Jerusalem. So she says here, Area C, which makes up roughly 60% of Judea and Samaria, is under full Israeli control, as opposed to Area A, which is under Palestinian Authority security and civil administration. And Area B is under Palestinian Authority civil administration, but with Israeli security control. So she's talking about Area C, where Arabs are living with the Jews who are in the Yishuvim, the settlements around here, the resettlements. And let me go on here in the article. It says, all Jewish settlements are in Area C, but Palestinian Authority Arabs live in all these areas. Israelis are not allowed to enter Areas A and B due to the danger involved. And that's true, by the way. If anybody drives here in Israel and you're in Judea and Samaria, you're going to see signs that are in color red. And it says that Israelis are not allowed to go past this point because of danger to their lives. Because if they go into Area A and B, they could be lynched. Regarding U.S. President Donald Trump's peace plan, Shaked said, quote, "The choice to hold elections is a choice between a strong right and a weak left. After elections and before the coalition is created, Trump is supposed to publish his peace plan," she says, "which will bring Benny Gantz on a silver platter to the government. Therefore, we, and not Gantz from the Israel Resilience Party, need to be the ones who are the Likud's central partners." Mm-hmm. Likud is under Benjamin Netanyahu. And it ends here and says, "Likud's ideology is influenced by its coalition partners. Our goal is to be the next largest party, second to the Likud." And this article does go on. You can read it out of Ruth Sheva if anybody wants to read more. Here I see, and you tell me what you see, a very good woman who is liked by many people, but she's coming out, now this is the way I'm seeing it, as doing something that is so incredibly wrong in order to garner more votes. I ask, why is she willing to give them citizenship? Why make them citizens? At most, they would remain with resident status. But these Arabs are no friends of Israel. In a democracy, if you gave them citizenship and they could vote, which is, by the way, against the Torah, if you read the book of Joshua, you will see that the Canaanites who were in the land when we came in, we gave them two options, or I should say three options. One, they could either leave peacefully and make a nice life someplace else, or B, if they chose and were adamant and wanted to stay in the land of Israel, then they had to become Noahites, give up their idol worshiping, their paganism, and they had to agree to pay taxes to the king. And with, like, everybody pays taxes, right? And they also had to agree not to serve in leadership positions, meaning not in the government. They were able to live there with personal rights. They could have their businesses, live in peace, but they could not be in the government because it is Jewish land. It's a Jewish state, a Jewish country. So why, I ask again, should we give them a citizenship? They can easily and legally take a vote in the Knesset, if they have enough members, to change the name from Israel to Palestine, and to change the law of return, which says that any Jew that wants to come to Israel can come to Israel and become a citizen. And they could take a vote, all peacefully done, no wars, no bloodshed, to turn Israel from a Jewish state into an Islamic Arab state, and boom, no more Jewish state, not one Jewish state in the entire world. Israel cannot have this done. I don't understand why she's thinking that we have to give them anything. They went to war against us. They were Jordanian citizens. We are now in control in a defensive war, fought against us. We liberated this territory. If they want to stay and we let them, we can. 30 seconds, Mordechai, really 30 seconds.
I disagree with a lot of the facts that you're saying, first of all. Her statement is pathetic. First of all, there are not 500,000 Arabs in the Area C. That simply, she simply doesn't know the numbers. And secondly, there are about 300,000 Arabs in Area C, but with a 6% correction.
But it doesn't make sense. I'm sorry that we have to stop here. The music is going off. Thank you for coming on the show, everyone. We're going to be right back.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
We live in the age of information, but not inspiration. If you're like me, you're looking to be inspired, to reach higher, to connect more, and to grow. Well, if you want to get warm, you need to stand close to the fire. And if you want to catch fire, you need to stand close enough to get hit by the sparks. Join me, Penina Taylor, as we walk with people who have embarked on a spiritual journey towards Torah. We'll uncover what started them on their journey and what truths they discovered along the way. So prepare to be inspired as we take a leap of faith every Sunday at 5 p.m. on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. And we have now our Jewish activism segment with Shifra Hoffman. She is the founder of victimsofarabterror.org, and she is the director of Shuva.net. Welcome to the show, Shifra Hoffman.
Thank you, Tamar. As I always try to begin and acknowledge, what we Jews are supposed to understand, that God Almighty created the world, He gave every nation their land, and He gave Israel, Eretz Yisrael, to the Jewish people. I thank you, dear God, for giving it to us in this generation. I thank you, dear God, for having the sense and the understanding to make Aliyah 35 years ago about. And I wish the old Jews that, I wish and hope that all Jews that are listening will do that now, especially with the rise of anti-Semitism. I would like to focus on something now, Tamar, and all the listeners. I don't know how many of you know Ayelet, she's Shaked, her name is Ayelet Shaked. She's the Minister of Justice. She's a very pretty woman. I think she should spend her time teaching girls how to look very good instead of being in the Knesset, because she came out with something that is so crazy. I just had to read it several times to think that someone could say something like that, much less a minister of justice. It seems that they formed a new right party, and they want to now have 500,000 Arabs to be citizens of Israel. I can't understand such a stupidity. We have to get rid of them in their own lands. We don't say to kill them. We don't say to beat them. Just get them out of Eretz Israel, because they don't want to live here, and they don't want us to live here. They want to live here without us. That cannot be. This is a Jewish land, a Jewish country, and if they don't like to live here, they have all choices. They are 22 homelands or in America. Ayelet Shaked, I hope you're listening. If not, maybe we could send you the tape. Stop trying to get votes by endangering Israel in a very bad way. Not even five Arabs should be citizens. Not even five.
It just seems to me how what I've seen from the new right party headed by Bennett, and after that, Shaked, is that they're trying every gimmick to get their votes. They have enough good things about them that they don't have to lean over backwards and do things that are negative for the people of Israel. And when I see things like this, you know, I'm astounded, and I'm sure that other people are as well.
Tamar, I've said from day one, because my rabbi of blessed memory, God avenge his soul, his blood, I should say, may his soul be in heaven. Rabbi Meir Kahana, 30 years ago, wrote all the things that have to be done here to keep Israel Jewish. And politics is not one of them. He ran to a political office, not because he was a politician, but because he wanted the format to reach people. And I say this unequivocally, you will never find solutions with political people at all, not in Israel, not in America. They have self-interest first. The solution for the Jewish people is the roadmap of the Torah. You are not allowed to have non-Jews rule over you. You're not allowed to bring in enemies, much less to leave them here. And the solution is to send them to their 22 countries, because we are paying the price for the murders, and that poor beautiful young girl, 19-year-old girl, Ori Ansbacher. What did she do to die at the hands of a merciless killer who smirked when he was arrested? No regret at all, not even a human feeling.
You know, it would weaken Israel to give citizenship to the Arabs in Area C. They don't like the Jews. They don't want to be with the Jews, as you said, and they don't belong to be citizens here. They were Jordanian citizens. Jordan put a war against us, opened up war against us, and we liberated this territory in this defensive war. So it weakens us. And I want to say that just last week, Israel met in Warsaw, and we sat around the table as the expression goes, breaking bread with Arabs who before wanted our annihilation, and now they're coming together with us against the common enemy, Iran. If Israel wasn't so strong, if Israel wasn't so successful and didn't give so much blessing to the world, they would want to go against Iran by themselves. But no, they want Israel with them, and this shows that a strong Israel is good for the entire world.
It's true, Tamar, but I believe that a leopard doesn't change its spots. I think in the end, Israel is going to stand alone, as I've written in one of my poems and articles, except for God's help. God is our eternal ally. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't have an army and we shouldn't be strong, but I don't believe a word they say. They say one thing one day, they change another day, and I can understand that. I'm a nationalistic Jew, so I understand that the Arabs don't want to live in a Jewish land. They want to have something that's called, they call it a certain thing that is theirs, their own Arab land, and not a Jewish land. Anyway, I just want to finish by saying this. I think if you wanted any votes, Ayelet Shaked, you lost me, you lost everyone who wants a new right by saying that. Quickly get out of that trap you made yourself a trap there, and not one Arab should be made a citizen of the Jewish land. Let's get the Jews out of the Golan, the diaspora, and make them citizens before, God forbid, there's another Holocaust.
You wanted to say a word about Aliyah.
Yes, you know, I'm reading, and another thing is it's hard to believe that some Orthodox rabbis are counseling Jews not to go to Israel, not to make Aliyah. Whatever their reasons, they're comfortable in America. Well, if you are comfortable, you don't know what is happening. That's all. You're not up to what is happening. There's anti-Semitic, not incidents, but virulent anti-Semitism all across America. Campuses, stabbings, attacks, all kinds of things. So you are going to have to come to Israel if you want to save yourself and your family. That's where the emphasis should be. And I want to say that they haven't learned a thing from the Holocaust. What is this ABC, area A, B, C? Israel's an alphabet soup? It's all ours. One tiny country the size of Jersey, it's ours. If the Arabs wanted to live here in peace, they would have. But they showed through 7 wars and peacetime terror that they don't want to live in peace. They want to kill us and drive us out of our homeland.
Yes, and we have to remember that. During the Holocaust, also, there were rabbis, Orthodox rabbis, that were saying also that, oh, the war is going to be over, you know,
right,
we need to make Aliyah, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. And they have learned nothing and forgot everything.
We only have about 3 minutes left, and you wanted to also, you wrote me here, you wanted to talk about the rightful decision by one of Israel's Supreme Court judges. Go ahead, tell us about that.
Well, you know, if you read the news regularly, you find that everybody, especially in Tel Aviv and the left, as they're called, they want the Shabbat should be obliterated, really. They want to have the seventh day, which is a commandment from God, that you shall do no work on the seventh day, not you, your servant, your daughters, and so forth. They want to have buses riding on the Shabbat. 6 days is not enough for them. 6 days to shop and to do everything that they do during the week. But they want the seventh day also, which in my view is because they don't want Orthodox people to live here. Maybe they join up with the Arabs. Anyway, the point is that there's one judge who spoke out, only one, and he said he obliterated that bill. He said there's not going to be a desecration of Sabbath in Israel. God bless him. At least you have the courage to have the courage of your conviction. And all the others, you don't know. You know, you can't fight with God. You think you know better. It's not true. The only way we survived through all the centuries was keeping the Torah and the commandments. And Shabbat is holy. We dare not desecrate it. And by the way, if you don't go shopping, maybe you'll have time to spend with your wife and your kids and have a better quality of life than you have in Tel Aviv.
And, you know, it's interesting. I would guess that a lot of these intellectual leftists have never even read the Bible, the Torah, the Tanakh before.
Probably
so
not.
They could take their time instead of shopping, maybe just to take a look at the book. And it's a wonderful thing to, if intellectuals would love the Bible because it's so interesting and so on such a high level.
I don't know if they're so intellectual. What they want is materialism. They want to be, you know, they want to be a nation like every nation. And every nation, as we look around, is suffering the plagues. They're not getting blessings. They're getting curses. And though we are supposed to be a light unto the nations, even though the nations have spared no effort to extinguish that light.
Shifra, we're at the end of the show. Where can people contact you?
HoffmanShifra@gmail.com. Thank you for those who are writing to me. Please forgive me if it takes a while to respond, but I do try to respond. And I think today is Purim Katan. It's supposed to be like a quasi-Purim. So let's hope that the miracle of Purim will happen in this generation as well.
Amen, amen, amen. We should only see good things happen for the Jewish people and for the good people of the world. Thank you so much for being with us, Shifra Hoffman.
Thank you, Tamar.
And I want to thank everybody else for being with us on the show. It's been wonderful having you here. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to write me, Tamar, T-A-M-A-R, at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And I would love to hear your comments. Also, tell your friends that they should tune in to get news from Israel News Talk Radio and also international news when you listen to our live stream. You know what? I want to say a word now for the people who are listening through the podcast. When you listen to our podcast, that's wonderful. It's really wonderful. But you're missing so much when you don't listen to our live stream, because when you listen to our live stream, you're getting the news on the hour, our daily Israel News Talk Radio newscast, which is unique in all the world. You're also getting Fox News updates every 30 minutes to get international news. So you will never be missing a beat when you listen to Israel News Talk Radio in the background, while you're on Facebook, while you're driving your car through your cell phone, your smartphone, when you're cooking for Shabbat in the kitchen, whatever it is, you can listen to us in the background, be updated on everything that's going on, get great shows, and it's so easy. Thanks for being with us.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom!
Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling from the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.